Tonight, 2 weeks to go, Trump and Clinton in Florida, the frenzied final sprint. Trump trying to take aim over Obamacare, Clinton trying to put the map out of reach. Growing outrage over American service members promised bonuses to re-enlist and serve at war, now being told to give the money back. The White House and the Pentagon now weighing in. Caught on camera, the dramatic moments as three cousins are ambushed in a hail of gunfire. Tonight, a manhunt for a shooter on the run. Mid-air emergency on a transatlantic flight. Crew member struck with a mystery illness. The pilot forced to divert. What happened? And swiped online as holiday shopping fast approaches. A new alert about where credit card fraud is soaring and how to prevent it. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Exactly 2 weeks from Election Day, the center of gravity in this contest tonight rests in Florida, where both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump battled for votes today. For Trump, behind in virtually every poll, the path to victory starts and ends in Florida. He himself calling it a must-win. The latest Florida poll released over the weekend has Clinton ahead by 3 points. Today, Clinton tried to force her advantage by targeting early voters there, while Trump tried to pounce on a potential new Clinton vulnerability. Let's begin with NBC's Hallie Jackson in Tallahassee. Hallie, good evening.
Hi there, Lester. This here is Donald Trump's fourth rally in this state in less than 48 hours as he turns into the final stretch, slowing down on fundraising. Now a time in campaigns to focus more on mobilization and messaging. Trump hitting Obamacare in an attempt to sharpen that message, but today still stepping on it. Today, Donald Trump's acknowledging political reality.
I believe Florida is a must-win.
So to win Florida, like he says he has to, he's going after Hillary Clinton hard on the Affordable Care Act, pouncing on news premiums will rise double digits next year for some consumers.
All of my employees are having a tremendous problem with Obamacare.
But even trying to stay on message, he went off course during a photo op at his Trump-branded Doral property.
None of them are on Obamacare?
No. Some of them, but most of them, no.
With just 2 weeks until Election Day, it's another misstep and missed opportunity for a candidate with his own alternate political reality.
We're going to win Florida.
But the most recent polling shows that's not a sure thing. And while Trump's now hitting Clinton on her Syria policy, arguing it'll lead to World War III and hammering her as corrupt, that's not what he said 8 years ago.
I think she's a wonderful woman. I think that she's a little bit misunderstood.
Trump's worldview now, different than it used to be, with newly released audio giving more insight into how he sees the world around him.
I don't like to analyze myself because I might not like what I see.
The tapes, recorded by a Trump biographer in 2014, who now opposes his candidacy, paint a picture of a man for whom embarrassment is anathema.
I never had a failure, because I always turned a failure into a success.
For him, failure, not an option. So how does he avoid it in 2 weeks? First, keep hitting the Affordable Care Act. Second, Trump will have to prove he can defend himself from increasingly tough attacks like this one. A Democratic super PAC in Ohio out with this new ad arguing Trump's too dangerous.
The electoral map right now is daunting, and it will take a really clicking final 2 weeks for him to be able to get to 270.
His path to the White House, not non-existent, just narrow, with battleground Florida, make or break. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Tallahassee.
I'm Andrea Mitchell in Florida, where Hillary Clinton is spending two precious days on Donald Trump's turf out of the final 14 days.
Whoa! It is so great to be back in Florida.
Because without Florida, her campaign says, Trump has no path to the White House. Clinton going after him today for saying he won't necessarily concede if he loses.
Americans are coming together. At the very moment when Donald Trump is making an unprecedented attack on our democracy.
Clinton's biggest challenge, complacency. Aides fearing her recent narrow lead in most Florida polls, though just a few points ahead, could mean people stay home.
This is bigger than me. It's bigger than any of us. It's even bigger than Donald Trump.
So in these final days, she's going to states where early voting is starting.
Don't forget to vote.
So far this year, nearly twice as many people have voted early in Florida than 4 years ago. And more of them this time are Hispanic. Clinton's campaign believes a good sign for them.
Why did you vote early?
Because, like, it's my first time, so I wanted to just get it out of the way.
I made up my mind a long time ago. The decision was made. It was, why wait? Now I feel relieved and relaxed for the first time in months.
Voters are seeing the difference between these two candidates, and they're settling in the Clinton camp.
But two nagging problems for Clinton tonight. Another stolen email from Clinton's campaign chairman released by WikiLeaks about when President Obama first learned about her private emails. When the story first broke, he said he had just learned about it.
The same time everybody else learned it through news reports.
But in the email released tonight, longtime Clinton aide Cheryl Mills writes, "We need to clean this up. He has emails from her. They do not say state.gov." A second problem, the rise in Obamacare premiums, an issue Trump is exploiting. Clinton telling a Miami radio show tonight,
"The costs have gone up too much, so we're going to really tackle that."
And Clinton did get an endorsement from a Republican, General Colin Powell, who served under Reagan and both Bushes. He had in a hacked email called Donald Trump a national disgrace, tonight saying that Hillary Clinton is fully qualified to serve as president. Lester?
Andrew Mitchell in Florida tonight. Thank you. We have a closer look now at that new criticism over Obamacare, the insurance program meant for people who do not get insurance through their employers. It's helped push the number of uninsured Americans to the lowest rate in history. But the new announcement of a 25% increase in premiums with fewer choices has many wondering what it will mean for them. We get details from NBC's Tom Costello.
Rivers they flew, the bird shrieked with glee, and the stormy wind blew.
Occupational therapist Sarah Halfacre says she's caught in the middle. She needs the Obamacare coverage offered in Kentucky, but her insurer, United Healthcare, is losing money in the state and pulling out. Now, Sarah will have to choose a new Kentucky plan, and her premiums are sure to rise above her current $340 monthly payment.
It's called the Affordable Care Act. However, it's not affordable for individuals such as myself. Either premiums are going to have to come down, or I'm not going to have health insurance.
It's happening nationwide. Come January, one in five healthcare.gov customers will find just one insurer offering coverage. And premiums are rising fast, on average up 25%. Down 3% in Indiana, but up 116% in Arizona. Pushing premiums up $50 to $300 per month in some cases. The reasons? While 11.4 million Americans will be on Obamacare in January, most are sicker than expected. Younger, healthy adults are choosing to offer out of coverage and pay the tax penalty instead, despite President Obama's efforts.
And what that means is that the insurance pool is smaller, and it gets a higher percentage of older and sicker people who are signing up.
The White House says nearly all Obamacare customers will receive tax credits to offset the higher premiums, and most could even find plans for less than $100 per month.
In fact, most of the people who have enrolled are really very low-income people who are benefiting from significant subsidies.
Of course, the vast majority of Americans are insured through their employers, not Obamacare. Those insurance premiums also projected to rise 3 to 7%. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Now to a mystery illness that struck a cabin crew in the air. Dozens falling ill on a transatlantic flight that had left San Francisco. The pilot forced to divert and get the plane on the ground. Crew members rushed to hospitals. Now the question tonight, what caused the emergency? Let's get the latest from NBC's Morgan Radford.
Clear to land, 1-0-8 left.
A medical emergency. Ambulances rushing to the tarmac after a mystery illness forced this plane to make an emergency landing. 22 cabin crew members and three pilots becoming sick mid-air. British Airways Flight 286 left San Francisco at 7:15 Monday night with 400 passengers on board headed for London when suddenly the pilots diverted the Airbus A380 to Vancouver. Crew members bused to the hospital were checked out and released, while passengers, none of whom got sick, were largely kept in the dark.
What irritated us, part one, is that if you've got a ship, you make sure your people get off, your passengers get off first, not the crew first.
British Airways apologized to passengers, offering hotels and alternative flights, while telling NBC News they are investigating the incident. The illness, still a mystery. Morgan Radford, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Police are on the hunt this evening for a woman caught on camera committing a shocking crime. The dramatic surveillance video shows her opening fire on three cousins right on a Miami street. Incredibly, all three survived, and now they're telling their harrowing story to NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
Gunshot, multiple patients.
The gunshots rang out near a Miami park. Surveillance video showing three people scrambling for cover after a brazen robbery. 20-year-old Heidi Martinez shot in the leg. She says she was walking with her 17 and 12-year-old cousins when a woman rushes up behind them, demanding Martinez hand over her purse and phone. She does, but the woman fires one shot anyway. Her cousins then toss their phones, and she fires at least seven more shots, all happening in less than a minute. Bystanders recording the chaotic aftermath. The three cousins, all Honduran immigrants, rush to the hospital. Tonight, 12-year-old Delver Diaz is still there in stable condition after being shot in the stomach. No arrests so far, but investigators hope this video will bring new leads.
We do not believe that they were targeted. It was just a random act of violence.
As she watched it for the first time, Martinez told us she believes the shooter, who hopped in a getaway car, could be part of a gang. But she says she has no idea why what started as a robbery turned so violent so quickly. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Miami.
Now let's turn to the growing outrage over thousands of soldiers from California ordered to repay bonuses from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Congress is launching an investigation amid bipartisan outcry. The government is also examining whether this happened in other states. And for the first time, we're hearing from both the White House and the Secretary of Defense speaking out on the controversy. NBC's Ann Thompson has more.
The demand California National Guard members pay back enlistment bonuses sparking fury online. It's a disgrace the way we treat our heroes. I'm disgusted by this action. Outrageous treatment of vets. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America starting a petition calling on the Defense Department to forgive this error, building support with the hashtag pay them back.
If our government can bail out banks and so many other folks that have done wrong, it seems mind-boggling that they can't bail out some service members who've put their life on the line in defense of this country.
They needed my skills.
Robert D'Andrea, one of 10,000 soldiers enticed by the bonuses for a second tour in Iraq.
We did our duty, and now they're slapping us in the face for it.
An audit revealed the California National Guard improperly paid bonuses as it tried to boost its ranks during the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That led to a fraud investigation resulting in seven convictions. Today, President Obama requested an expedited appeals process for soldiers. The White House says while not supporting blanket forgiveness, the soldiers will not be held responsible for someone else's fraud. In Paris, the Secretary of Defense promised action.
We are going to look into it and resolve it.
Even in this caustic campaign season, Democrats and Republicans united in calls to stop collection efforts. Now Robert D'Andrea is fighting again, appealing to keep his $20,000 bonus.
I upheld my end of the bargain.
Having already paid with his service. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Turning now to that large-scale U.S.-backed offensive targeting ISIS in Iraq. On the march to Mosul, Iraqi troops freed what was the largest Christian city in that country from ISIS control. Joining that victory, Christian militiamen who fled the city 2 years ago. Our Richard Engel inside Iraq shows us the destruction they found when they returned.
This wasteland is what's left of the town of Karakosh, once home to 50,000 Iraqi Christians. Father Amar Siman escaped, along with everyone else, 2.5 years ago when ISIS started closing in. Now he's back for a brief and dangerous visit.
We want to see the city how it is, and we want to see to be sure that the people can return back.
The offensive against ISIS has made that possible, but Father Amin first wants to see his church.
They can stay here
or
in this room.
What's left of it?
What was this?
There was here very famous picture for the Virgin Mary.
This church was the largest in all of Iraq, where Christians have lived for as long as there have been Christians. Iraqi fighters used the pews for fuel to spread the flames and the courtyard for target practice.
I want to return back and
to pray, of course.
For now, the only Christians staying in town are members of the Christian Defense Unit, volunteers who've taken up arms, like Jamil Al-Jamil, a poet. This is one of the proudest moments of my life, he said. Proud because Jamil and his men were among the first to arrive, driving in Sunday, initially celebrating, then battling ISIS snipers. Christians have survived previous so-called caliphates. Now they're coming back to rebuild their churches and defend them, because nobody else would. Richard Engel, NBC News, Karakosh, Iraq.
Still ahead, a new consumer warning how those credit card chips may actually be leading to more fraud online. How to stop scammers from charging you with a nasty surprise. We're back now with the growing threat against your credit card and the dramatic rise in fraud despite new technology designed to better protect you. By now, most Americans are using the credit cards with the specialized chips, making them more secure when you use them in face-to-face transactions. But the increased security is giving way to a rise in online fraud, as NBC's Miguel Almaguer shows us.
Like millions of Americans, Cassie Sevier does her shopping online. Once a victim of credit card fraud, Sevier thought she was protected when her replacement card came with a security chip. A few months later, she fell victim again.
If they're going to make the guarantees that technology is going to protect me and keep my information safe, I would expect better.
Experts say it's all part of a troubling and costly new trend. These specialized chips do make your card tougher for thieves to use inside brick-and-mortar stores. So crooks are turning to the internet, where security chips don't protect you.
They're a physical element, and online is a virtual environment, so it only works when you actually have a terminal to use the chip in.
The so-called card-not-present fraud, which cost $3.2 billion last year, will rise to $4 billion this year and is expected to spike to $7.2 billion by 2020. The cost is often funneled down to consumers.
I feel kind of helpless, but there's not a whole lot I can do.
There are ways to protect yourself when shopping online now. Don't save your credit card numbers on store websites. Sign out and log off from online sites. And never use public Wi-Fi. Use password-protected Wi-Fi like at home. For Cassie Sevier and millions of Americans, new rules to shop by. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Up next here tonight, instead of going to get a flu shot, how about a flu shot that comes to you? A federal judge has approved the largest settlement for an auto scandal in U.S. history. Volkswagen has admitted that about 475,000 VWs and Audis with certain diesel engines were programmed to cheat on emission tests. The settlement totals about $15 billion. Nearly a half million Volkswagen owners and leaseholders will be given the choice to sell their cars back or have them repaired. And news from the Vatican tonight. New guidelines for Catholics who want to be cremated. The instructions say remains should not be scattered and should not be kept at home. Instead, they should be kept at a sacred place like a cemetery or a church in order to allow the Christian community as a whole a way of remembering the dead. Have you been too busy to get a flu shot? Well, in many cities throughout the country today, Uber customers could get a flu shot brought to them. Uber's app offered a special option that, if selected, would send over a nurse to give up to 5 shots for free. Up next, to Cleveland we go, where World Series anticipation is hitting a fever pitch. A look from the third baseline of Progressive Field, where tonight the Cleveland Indians are taking on the Chicago Cubs in game one of an already historic World Series. The two teams haven't had a championship between them in a combined 176 years. So no matter what, somebody's drought is about to end. Here's Ron Mott.
Call it the Cleveland trifecta.
For the first time in 52 years!
An NBA championship, the Republican National Convention, and now the World Series.
Yeah!
What a few months it's been.
How do you top all this?
I think the world has seen Cleveland in a different light. I think Clevelanders have come to appreciate Cleveland in a different light.
The Indians and visiting Chicago Cubs, baseball's cherished, shall we say, perennial C students, are chasing history and it just may be what the doctor ordered for a nation going batty over divided politics. At 104, superfan Emily Syrian, Nana, she's called here, has always appreciated her city and her beloved Indians.
Which team is better, the 48 team or this year's team?
This year.
The country might find picking sides tough, but potential TV ratings gold.
Doesn't matter who you're rooting for, whether you're a Cleveland fan or a Chicago fan or a fan of neither team. It's just, it's fun.
Fans for each have sob stories of previous disappointments, though someone's guaranteed to go home happy this year.
I'm ready. I've been ready.
We're here just to make sure we keep the curse alive.
For Nana, 2 years older than Wrigley Field, her T-shirt spells out exactly what's on the line.
I want them to win one before I die.
A win at any cost, please. Ron Mott, NBC News, Cleveland.
And that's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.